We continue the shiur in Gemara. We start today the Gemara Masechet Shavuos, and the first statement is the Gemara asks, why is it that every holiday there is a korban, a sacrifice brought in the Beis Hamikdash? Every one of these sacrifices have a name: korban Pesach, sacrifice brought on Pesach; korban Chagiga, korban Tumid, and so on. There is one korban that has a very special word attached to it. So, the korban for the Shchedesh, first day of the month, the new moon, is a korban LaHashem. Why does it add the word LaHashem? This is korban for Hashem. La means two or four. So it's a very frightening thought, a korban for Hashem, Hashem's korban. You want to ask, what is the meaning of that statement then? What does that word mean? Why is that term used, the korban for Hashem, specifically the korban for the Shchedesh? You want to answer, to bring us back to a story that occurred, transpired during the days of creation. When Hashem created the sun and the moon, they were both created, in a sense, equal. Equal in size, equal in brightness, according to some opinions. So when the sun and moon were created, the Gemara tells us that the moon appeared before Hashem with a plaintive note. The moon asked Hashem, what is the logical reason for having two mighty lanterns in the sky? They give light. Why are there necessary two lanterns, the sun and moon, giving the same light? Why isn't one sufficient? But if one is to be eliminated, which one should go? It's obvious the moon wasn't asking to be decimated, to be eradicated. So Hashem said to the moon, I accept your statement, your complaint. And therefore, Hashem said, the word is l'chi u'ma'ati es atzmech. Go and decrease in size, in light, and decrease meaning to zero. Henceforth, you will have no light at all of your own. You hereby lose every last vestige of light. Only the sun will give forth light. The moon cried out to Hashem, if I made a statement that is very logical, must I be punished for it? Why are two necessary? It's a good question, but why should I suffer completely? Hashem said, in a sense, Hashem said, your complaint is a reasonable one, justifiable one. However, since a decree is issued by a king, it cannot be retracted. I said your light must disappear. That must remain so. But I shall appease you. Henceforth, you will be able to appear both by day and by night. The moon appears at night. The moon, of course, is a mirror-like surface which reflects the light of the sun. There is no light of the moon itself. The light we see from the moon is the reflection of the sun. But you'll also be able to be seen by day. We know, of course, the nature of the moon is that when the moon is first born, new moon comes out by day. Always, when the moon is first, when the Shchedesh, it comes out by day, the moon rises by day and it sets in the early part of the evening. As the days go by, towards the middle of the month, the moon rises in the evening and sets towards morning. Latter part of the month, the moon rises late at night and sets after the part of the day has begun. So you will be seen in the sky both by day and by night. You'll give forth your light by day and night, whereas the sun will shine only by day. The moon asked, what kind of a consolation is that? What is the good of a candle in bright sunlight? Is there any use of using a light when the sun is shining? What is the use of me, imagine the light of the moon during the day? What kind of an appeasement is that? Hashem said, I'll grant you more than just that. I'll give you a greater blessing, that the Jews, the Jewish people, will judge their calendar according to the moon. The Jews will celebrate their holidays according to the lunar year rather than the solar year. The months go according to the moon, and all the holidays follow the order of the months. We speak about the holiday of Pesach. It's the 15th day of the month of Nisan, which means 15 days after the new moon is born on Nisan. Same with all the other holidays. This should appease you. The moon answered, it is not enough, because the sun too is necessary even for the Jews. We judge the seasons according to the sun, the four seasons, and also we've got to reconcile the figures of the sun and the moon. The years we count, we have regular years and Shleis Ibur, leap years, when the year consists of 13 months, so that the difference between the sun lunar year and the solar year, which is about 11 days, if we have a continuation of a regular year, we'd find that there's 11 days missing each year, the difference, that could add up to a lot. So therefore we have leap years, additional 30 days, 13th month, that's the second month of Adar, and since we have these leap years, every second or third year, to be exact, the lunar cycle is 19 years. In 19 years, the moon comes back to the same position as it was originally with the sun. That's by having seven leap years in these 19 years. The 19 years, again, the seven leap years are always, in this cycle of 19, it's always the third, the sixth, the eighth, the 11th, the 14th, the 17th, and 19th year of each cycle. These 7 years are leap years with an additional 30 days, and thereby, if you total that up, you'll find that the sun and moon are back to normal, equal footing to start again this 19-year cycle. But, the moon said, we see that we must still judge even the lunar year according to the solar year. Sam said, fine, I will add more to you. You are called the small lantern, a moed katan. The word katan, small, will not be considered a derogatory term, because this term will be applied to the biggest tzaddikim. Yaakov HaKoton. Yaakovina is called HaKoton, we find in the Pasuk. Shmuel HaNavi is called HaKoton. And David HaMelech is called, we find the word Koton applied to. So, therefore we have these great tzaddikim will be named, be given the same name as you. This should appease you, should satisfy you. The Gemara says that the moon was still not satisfied. Finally, Hashem said, I can't help you anymore. Aviyu alai kapoda, the wording of the Gemara, Hashem said, Anish Chedesh, which is the holiday of the moon, the birth of the new moon, bring a korban, a sacrifice, kapora means a forgiveness, alai for me, in that I have decreased the size of the moon. Kaviyachol. Kaviyachol means, if we are allowed to use that term, kapara chas v'sholom, Hashem requires a forgiveness, Hashem who is perfect, Hashem who is the essence of justice. Nothing can be done, can ever be attributed as wrong, chas v'sholom. Tzuri v'lev l'sabay, there is never an injustice done by Hashem. How is it possible to use that term? And this, of course, all the commentaries in the Gemara struggle with this story. They find it very difficult to comprehend the meaning of those words that Hashem said. Vio alaika poda, this is why the korban of the Shchedesh is called Soyel Hashem, a korban for Hashem. Now in this, the Mefarshim explain different types of explanations. We'll give first the simple ones, and we'll find the interpretation by the Zayin HaKadosh in depth, and finally by the Nosanzal. Hashem say, what Hashem said to the moon was not Tavi or Alai Kapora Chas V'Shon, bring a Kapora for me, no Kapora for Hashem. First was, Hashem is the master, Hashem is the creator, Hashem can do with his creations, his handiwork, as he pleases. What Hashem said was, if all these things have not satisfied you, I have one additional point that should satisfy you more than anything else, and that is that we have Yom Kippur once a year to forgive for the sins committed by any Jew. But it is too long to wait, too long an interim, to allow the accumulation of sins for a whole year is more than a Jew can bear. The burden is too heavy. Therefore we have the Shchedesh 2 every month a day, which is like a small Yom Kippur, to reduce the number of sins, to remove the sins that have accumulated for 1 month. So Hashem said to the moon, Havi olai kapara. The Jews will bring a kapara for the sins done olai against me on the Shchedesh, and this should make this holiday so great, dependent purely upon the moon, this should satisfy you, because this will bring the Jews closer to Hashem. A sin, an aveda, is what separates a Jew from Hashem. It draws a Jew away from Hashem, and it alienates him, and therefore through doing tshuva, bringing a korban, this brings a person close. Korban, kalev, to bring a Jew close to Hashem, all in your zechus, Hashem said to the moon. Your zechus, your holiday, on your day, this will be done. This should satisfy. Secondly, again, another explanation is kaviyacha. The Gemara says, Hashem had a isi. Hashem says that I am very sad about the fact that my children, my people, commit sins against me. They rebel against me. I am kaviyacha forced to punish them, to drive them into exile, and it hurts me more than it hurts them. Now, there's a pasuk, Imoi Onechi Bitzora, that I suffer with the Jews when they are suffering, Hashem says. Now, whose fault is it? Yetzirah, the evil inclination, the evil angel, persuades, influences a Jew to commit sin. Now, whose fault is it then that the Jew sins? Is it his own fault that he's surrendered to this evil desire, to the Yetzirah? Or can he have a claim to Hashem? I would not have committed a sin. It's only that you created the Yetzirah. So I am not guilty in this wrongdoing. If you would not give me this Yetzirah, I would not have these sinful actions. So here Hashem said to the moon, now, because of your claim, I'm going to, in your zechus, on Rosh Hashanah, soil Hashem. I'm going to accept the repentance of the Jews, the claim of the Jews, and I will take upon myself the responsibility for their Yetzirah, which I created. This should appease you, because it is to your credit that all the Jews will receive a kapara, forgiveness. This is the second explanation. Now we come to the Zayda Kodesh, where we find this item taken up much more in depth. Zayda Kodesh says that Rabbi Shimon ben Yechoi Zal, who was the Tzadik Emes at that time, whose son Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon became the greatest rabbi next to him, because he spent 13 years in the cave with Rabbi Shimon Yechoi Zal. Wasn't Rabbi Shimon had a father-in-law, his name was Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Shimon. His father-in-law, who recognized the greatness of his son-in-law. And of course, the Zohar Kodesh says that on the day of Rabbi Lazar's bar mitzvah, Rabbi Yossi came to Rabbi Shimon Yechoi Zal and asked him, suggested that he accept his daughter, Rabbi Yossi's daughter, for Rabbi Lazar's wife. Shimon Yechoi Zal accepted, and the agreement was made right then. In fact, it seems the wedding was held then too. In those days, they got married at a normal age, 13. They didn't wait till they became old, like 16. Rabbi Kodesh says that Rabbi Yossi once came to visit Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon. He came to visit the house of his son-in-law, Uzzah's wife came out to greet her father. Then she came out, the Zayikadosh says, he walked over to her, she took his hand and she kissed it, kissed her father's hand, because Abinazar brings too that Rizal says that when a tzaddik gives the bracha comes true if the recipient kisses the hand of the mevorech. We find this, of course, is done in cases of great tzaddikim, Yosi. Nowadays there aren't any more left except among the chambashis, the chachams, by the certain ones where they kiss the hands there. But we do find that Rizal says this is fact, we find it here. Yosi blessed his daughter, he gave her a bracha, she stood by, accepted the bracha, then he said to her these words, "L'chi umati es atzmech lefnei balech." Go and decrease yourself in size, become subservient before your husband, because he is very great, very holy. He used the words of Hashem to the Lavona. Lavona, of course, is female. Lavona means, by the way, the moon, Lavona, that Rizal says, Abinazar brings a Sefer Amidos. The Lavona stands also for weddings. A wedding by the light of the moon, the Kala, the first words in the Gemara dealing with weddings, Ksuba's first four words are Besula Nisa'as Liyim Arvi. The Kala is married a certain day of the week because of the reasons given. And these first four words, the first letters of those first four words in that Gemara, make up the word Lavona. Sula Nisa'as Liyim is the word Lavona. Lavona stands for Kala, the bride. And therefore, Abiesi said to his daughter, "You are like the moon, decrease yourself in size, accept the light, the brightness of your husband." Just like the moon accepts all the light it receives from the sun, without question, in a very subdued manner, so too, accept everything your husband gives to you gladly, without objection. Now, this was his statement to his daughter. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon came out and began a further conversation in dealing with the story of the moon itself. First, the Chidozal, the name of Ramos, Rama, Ahmaziah says, explain this word. What was the hidden meaning of Rabbi Yossi's statement? Go and ma'atiyas, that's make yourself smaller before your husband. If you are equal to your husband, make yourself smaller. What's meant by that was, Chidozal says, that if a couple, a chassan and kala, husband and wife, are to be successful, the happily married life, and not only between themselves, but to have, to produce, to be fruitful, to bring forth good children, then they cannot be on exactly the same level. There is no such thing as equal rights. Women's liberation, equal rights. If they are both on the same level, then it is not a normal relationship. If it is on the same level, they cannot have children then, or they cannot have good children. Usually these women's liberation, women's lib type, or equal rights kind, are the ones who destroy family life. They are the ones who are opposed to having children, out of the kitchen, bring them from the kitchen, from housework, send them out of the field, let the men give birth, if they can. Here the Chidozal says, and it's brought in detail from the Rizal, that this is the secret as to why there was such a long delay in Sarah giving birth. Abraham and Sarah, first father and mother of the Jews, were barren, sterile for so long a period, because Medrash says that Sarah was equal to Abraham in greatness. In Koyach of Nebuah, she was equal to and perhaps even superior to Avraham Avinu. Therefore, there was no way that she could give birth till Hashem took the Yud from Sarah's name. Her name was spelled with the Yud first. Removed the Yud that gave her this superiority. The Yud, of course, is a masculine letter, the Zachar, and took that Yud and divided it into two Hays, one Hay for Avraham, one hay for Sarah, and thereby she became subdued, became inferior And that's the only way in which she could then give birth. Hey, lochem zera. Children could then come forth from her because she was subdued, because she had lowered herself. She had accepted this to become lower than her husband. And this is why, this is what Rabbi Yossi meant when he said to his daughter, Chiyo Mati Es Atzmech. Of course, you are much better off with a husband of the caliber you have to accept his superiority, accept his mastery over you, because he will never use it to your disadvantage. The Gemara says that a good husband who is the superior, who is the leader of the family, will always be so considerate of his wife that if there is one suit of clothes, if there's enough money to purchase one new suit of clothes, he will buy it for his wife only. If there is money for food, a limited amount, he'll give his wife double the amount of food. The Rizal says that even there is an actual law that the Baal HaBayis Beitzeah, the husband, it's important for those who are getting married to know this, when the husband cuts the challah at the table, he takes the first piece for himself, for a mitzi, the din is that he must then cut the second piece of challah twice the size as the first to give to his wife. This is not because not because he wants to fatten her up, but to show that his goodness is to fulfill the mitzvah written in the Ksuma to provide her with food. Of course, she says, keep the challah, give me cake, or keep the challah, give me mink. But this does not mean that he wouldn't buy the rest. First, this is the beginning, but say it. But see, means the beginning, as challah, is to show that he is sincere when he made that promise. So, therefore, even though the wife accepts the domination of the husband in Jewish life, religious Jewish life, this domination is not one that is unreasonable, but rather where the husband gives more than he receives. It's very important to stress here too, very vital. The fact, this we're saying is not because we have Baruch Hashem Chassanim and Kalis, actual ones, but we have live potentials. We don't look it, but they are. For the very near future, we hope. So keep this point in mind too. We had learned, if you recall, back some time ago, the Gemara Nazav, the Gemara says that if your wife is short, then bend down, very low, put your ear close to her and listen to what she says. Don't just listen, but carry out whatever she says. Whatever she orders you to do, follow her orders. Whatever she wishes, fulfill. Then the Gemara says, a man who listens to his wife goes to Gehenna forever. So the Gemara asks, there seems to be a contradiction here. Surely the Gemara wouldn't mislead a person. How do we reconcile these two statements? The Gemara answers very simply. The rule is, the din is, the law is, and listen closely, Chassanim and Kalis. The Gemara says both statements are absolute, final, and true. Bend down, listen to your wife closely, do not dispute her word, accept her decisions when it is matters that pertain to the home. If she wants green curtains and orange chairs, you've got to purchase her taste in furniture. She wants a different type of an apartment, or to anything pertaining to the house, then she is the one to decide and to rule. Matters of the house are ones for the wife to decide. If a person does that, then he is blessed. The home is blessed. But when it comes to matters of religion, decisions about religious matters, laws or customs, if a husband allows his wife to dominate him, the result is Gehenna, chas v'shalom, for both. When it comes to religion, only one person should rule in the home, and that is the husband. Of course, I'm speaking about a husband who is learned and religious. Normal case where the husband is more learned than the wife, and the wife must be subservient to the husband in religious matters. Anything else, matters of the home, a woman must rule. In fact, the Gemara says even further, mila di alma, worldly matters, to decide which nation shall conquer. The wife decides that, because this is matters of the world. Anything to do with religious matters, it is only the husband that can, that should rule, and the wife should accept. In fact, the Midrash says, a good wife, a good housewife, is one that conducts a kosher home. The Gemara says that is not sufficient. If you have kosher meat in the house, put kosher meat in kosher pots, that's not a kosher home yet. You have to have a kosher wife. What is meant by a kosher wife? One who accepts decisions on religion, on dinim, from her husband. He once mentioned the case of Bissau Salantazal and his wife. Bissau Salantazal was one of the great Gaonim of the past, the recent past. His wife was so great a Melumedes that some said she was the Gilgul reincarnation of Bruri, the wife of Rameya. They used to make belittle the rabbis of the Gemara at that time. She was so superior to them in learning. One day, his students overheard behind closed doors. They heard him, Yisrael Salant, and his wife both arguing very vehemently. It was a very bitter argument. Their voices rose to a high pitch, but they could not make out the words. Finally, he emerged from that room. His face was red. He sat down to begin a lesson, and one of the students stood up and said, Rabbeinu, O Rabbi, with the greatest deference, the greatest respect, please allow me to ask a question. I mean this very sincerely because I must learn Torah. This is a matter of Torah. And the Shulchan said, you may ask. He said, well, I'd like to know what you and your wife are arguing about. How is it possible that you two could argue? Surely she knows the Gemara too. Now, if this argument was on a topic that pertained to matters of the house, you would have given it to her, her decision. If it was a matter of religion, she would have given it to you. How could there be an argument? There would be any dispute between the two of you. How is it possible to have an argument between two learned people like yourselves? So answered, we argued about a certain item. Doesn't matter what the item was, but that item, she was screaming, this is a matter of the house, and I screamed, this is a matter of religion. Therefore, that was the dispute. The decision, of course, was that in a religious home, most items will touch upon a religious matter. If it does not, of course, then, as we said, we have the direction the Gemara gives us, and it's only when this is fulfilled, when this is abided by, that you have a home that is pure, a home where the Shekhinah rests. Let this be your guide throughout, and thereby you will have peace and harmony for a long time throughout your lives. Now, the Zohar Kodesh says that the Blessed Rav Shimon came out, he greeted his father-in-law, and he heard the words of his father-in-law. So he said to his father-in-law, you have just reminded me of a shiur that I heard from my father, Rav Shimon Yochoizal, about that topic. The question, how could there be a statement by Hashem as to bring a kapara, a korban for me, making the moon smaller and appeasing it? What is meant by that whole story? Rav Shimon Yochoizal explained, when Hashem created the world, it was obviously the intention originally by Hashem. There should be two separate lanterns. A sun, a moon. We go into Kabbalah, of course, we find that was B'riyah itself. The sun and the moon are Zainampin and Nukva, Tiferes and Malchus, and all the four elements. We won't go into complicated Kabbalah, but they represent the actual Sfidas, Tiferes and Malchus. However, original creation was such that Hashem said every nation on earth is to have a sort of guardian angel or a symbol. Now the symbol for the Goyim during this world shall be the sun. The sun will be the guardian angel or the ruler, the spiritual, the heavenly ruler over the 70 nations on earth. The moon will represent Yaakov Avinu, that means the Jewish people. And therefore the Tikkun HaZoyah says, we find that Yaakov Avinu's form face features are seen in the moon. And I can be this called many different reasons for it too, but because the moon represents the Jews. Now, this was the original intention. This is how they were created for that purpose. It was then that the moon came before Hashem and begged Hashem. This means then that there is darkness for the Jews in this world. There is darkness, suffering, exile, whereas for the Goyim there will be the sunlight, the brightness. Why can't we too, why can't the Jews too have a life of happiness in this world? Why can't we have peace, our own land, our own country, without worry of attack by others, without animosity, without wars and battles constantly, without persecution? So Hashem replied to the moon, L'chiyu ma'atiyas atzmech, you, the symbol of the Jews, meaning the Jews too, make yourself small, decrease in importance and size, in ability and power, until Elam Hab, till the future. As long as there is this Elam Hazah, this world, you will be inferior to the Goyim. But this inferiority, this subjugation, is temporary. It's only during your lifetime here, this temporary lifetime, not just of a person, but of the world itself. The world itself is very temporary. Hashem created this world to last for a specified time, up till the year 6000, the Gemara says. And then there is the complete change. Or, prior to that time, Mashiach comes, that change will transpire. So Hashem said to the moon, consider yourself smaller, accept this inferiority until the time that there is this change, till Mashiach comes, till Olam Haba, till the future, and bring a kapara for me, that is, for my promise. I give you this promise, this assurance, that this is only temporary, and when the time comes, when Mashiach comes, when the future Asad Lavay will come, I promise you, then you will become the leading power on earth. You'll rule over all the other nations. This Korban, Soil Hashem, is the insurance. It's the promise by Hashem, the symbol of Hashem's promise, Hashem's vow. And we are given this assurance that eventually the time will come, and we will rise up to the glory of being the most important, the only important power on earth, in this world too. There, of course, when it comes to Gan Eden, the Jewish Gan Eden naturally is unsurpassed, unequaled. Even those few Goyim who are Hasidim Asylum, who do get Gan Eden, it is in a much, much lower level than the lowest level of the Jew. But that is in the Olam Haba. In the future world here, after Mashiach comes, the world will become renewed. Then, from then on, forever after, the Jews will rule. This was the word by Hashem. This is the reason for this Soil Hashem, this Korban Shchedesh. The Shchedesh is a time when we see the tiny size of the moon. It shows how small the Jews are. And yet, we see that by the last day of the month, Hebrew month, on the 29th or the 30th day of the month, depending upon the size of the month, when the moon finally disappears completely and seems to be wiped out and gone, eradicated, suddenly, like the phoenix bird, there is a revival, rejuvenation, and the moon is recreated. So when the Jews seem to have been chas v'shalom wiped out, seems as though they reached the nadir, the low point, suddenly they are reborn, and we find the Jews coming forth with a new life, a new spirit, never to be chas v'shalom wiped out. That is even now. Eventually, the moon will receive its full light. There will no longer be a pegima salavona. This means that the Jews will become complete and perfect forever afterward. This was the interpretation by Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Blessings all. The Kutei Halachos says that the sun and moon, as defined by Rabbeinu Zal in the very first chapter of the Kutei Manan, the sun, the bright light, stands for wisdom, seichel, knowledge. The person understands something which is difficult, which is a mystery to him before, it's as though a light goes on. Light is ignited, he understands now that which was dark to him. That is the sun. The moon is a symbol of tzimtzum, confinement, small. Light means the light is spread, a tiny mesh, which takes up only a 1/16 of an inch. This glare can give light to hundreds of square feet. A small incandescent bulb, so tiny, can give light, spread light to all the furthest recesses of a room. But the moon, on the contrary, is something which confines, compresses this darkness. It is completely dark by itself. And this moon stands for a case, a place where there is no knowledge at all, which means a place where only emuna, only faith, is necessary. Emuna means that which we do not understand at all. If it is something that you see with your eyes, or you understand it, there's no faith necessary. There is faith when something is blind. You cannot understand or see it, yet you believe. We cannot see the heavens. We cannot see Gan Eden. Yet we believe implicitly that Hashem created the Torah with reward for the future. This reward is in Gan Eden, and of course punishment for sin. And this is purely a matter of faith, emunah. And this emunah means then it is something dark. We cannot see it all, but despite this darkness, despite this compression and confinement, we believe. That is what the moon stands for. Now, the difference between the Goyim and the Jews, Lahavdil, the Goyim have accepted the sun, which means that they will accept only what they see. There is no faith as far as they are concerned. Whatever they see, they believe. Seeing is believing. So for them, their guide is the sun. For the Jews, Lahavdil, their guide is the moon. The Jews live by their faith. The Jews die for their faith. The Jews have remained throughout many centuries when Goyim, giant empires, have crashed and have disappeared with their light of the sun, while the Jews, with this one simple item of faith, sustained them throughout all this time, and they remain to this day with this power of faith. Now, this is what the Jews have accepted. And this is what's meant by the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin. Tefillin, something that is put on the head, which stands for the mind, which stands for seichel, understanding. The light, the brightness of the mind. Therefore, we have tzitzis. Tzitzis is something which is faith. Gematria 613 mitzvahs, which we cannot see, which we cannot understand fully, we believe in them. A person is supposed to cloak himself first in a talus, tzitzis, which means he first takes upon himself the faith, emunah, and then when he has this faith implicitly, he is then zecher. This leads him eventually to actually begin to understand and to see the kedusha of Hashem's commands. A great tzaddik is one who starts with faith and then he actually sees it. The great tzaddikim of the past had the power of visiting heaven. They could actually go to heaven, as the Gemara says, or later the Rizal, Eli HaKadosh, Hashem Tov, could visit heaven in real life and see all that the ordinary layman, the ordinary Jew, believes in blindly. How does the tzaddik get to that visual realization of this original faith? Because the faith was so strong and so powerful, he was rewarded by Hashem. Because you believe, now you can see. We find this in the case of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu tried to delve into who was the creator of the world, and he realized it was impossible to find this physically, so he said, I believe implicitly there is a creator. Hashem spoke to him finally and said, because you tried so hard, therefore I reveal myself to you, now you will understand it with Seichel too. So this is the reason why we must have first tzitzis and then tefillin. The person puts on a talus first to bring, take upon us to cloak himself with this emunah's faith, then he is able to understand. For this reason, on Shabbos, Shabbos itself stands for Da'as, wisdom, knowledge. Because there is Da'as, Seichel, on Shabbos, there is no necessity to put on tefillin on Shabbos. There's no tefillin then. But there still is a necessity for tzitzis. We still wear a talus on Shabbos, tzitzis on Shabbos, because to receive this great light, the das, kedusha, the chachma of Shabbos, we have to have first the cloak, the garment of tzitzis, tell us, which means that we take the emuna first, and then we are zechet to this kedusha of the das of Shabbos Kodesh. Now, this is the moon request. Moon came before Hashem and said to Hashem, why can't we too have the das, the knowledge, instead of having to struggle with only faith, blind faith? Why can't we be blessed, be given the knowledge of your mitzvahs in advance? Why do we have to go through a difficult life of faith where so many people fall victim? You have so large a number of Jews who chas v'shalom fall casualty to this battle with faith. So many become so weakened that they stop believing chas v'shalom. So why risk these casualties? Isn't it better to have me, faith, become as bright, be as bright as the sun, and to have the light where the Jew will understand that which he believes in? Hashem said to the Levona, to the moon, L'chiyomatis atzmech, you must remain small, you must remain tiny, because this is the only way that a Jew can prove himself. If a Jew has faith, he goes through life, through the battles against the atheists, against the Kafirs, against the philosophers, and he sustains his faith throughout, he has proven himself worthy of the eventual reward. Yosef Lovay, there come a time when Oz Yimolei Schek Pinu, come a time when the Jews will smile because they have won out in this battle, Mochemes Achayim, this battle against the Kafirim. At that time, the Jews will be brought to happiness, while those who fought against the Jew, against his faith, will suffer because they'll realize what their folly, the error of their ways before. And therefore, Hashem said, you will have Kotel, small light, but you will have also Yaakov, Avinu, Shmuel, David HaMelech, who represent the Malchus. Malchus, the last of the Sfidas, is the Sfida of Emuna, the Sfida of Emuna, which means Malchus Mashiach, Mashiach ben David. And these Sadiqim are the ones who will help to lead the Jews to their eventual success, eventual eternal happiness. And this is what's meant by the Pasuk Zeh HaShala Hashem Tzidkei Vayavai. Zeh HaShala Hashem. There is a gate that leads to Hashem. Hashem, this Kabbal Hashem. What is that gate that leads to Hashem, where a person can actually come close to and become part of Hashem? Tzadikim. Person through the gate called Tzadikim, Yavayovay, can come to, into the Shekhinah and become part of the Shekhinah. This is through his emuna, solid faith in Tzadikim, which leads to the faith in Hashem and leads to becoming a part of the Shekhinah itself. This is what Hashem said, Tavio Alai Kapora, bring a kapora for me, Alai, because I am with you. If you are going to suffer during this life, in this battle against the world, which is so insanely intent upon crushing you, and you'll fight with everything you have, and you'll remain solidly with your faith, you'll give your life for your faith, Hashem says, I am with you. In this world, I'll be with you until Mashiach comes to the Gula Shleima. I'm with you now, and I'll be with you then. Know always that your faith in Hashem will be rewarded and justified. You will have Hashem at your side to strengthen you, and eventually you will have Hashem reveal himself to us. This is the message of the Levona. Hashem said to the Levona, the message to the Levona means the message to the Jews. Hashem said to the Jews, sustain yourselves with this faith, because Tzadik Amunasa Yichya. Our lives depend upon our Emuna in the Tzadik Emes, Emuna in Hashem. It is only with faith that we can actually live. Let's be zechet to strengthen ourselves with this faith. Nothing shall be allowed to shake, to waver our faith, to weaken it, chas v'shalom. Let's be strong in this emunah shleima, and that's the chus. We will live to see becoming a Mashiach. Amen. Amen. Amen.